This is Report to Wyoming.
This show targets local issues that matter right here in Natrona County, where we talk to real people about their thoughts and ideas. For today's episode, I was honored to talk to Badger and Bull, two Vietnam veterans and bikers in Casper, about mental health and the camaraderie of riding with other veterans who share the same feelings and experiences as they do. We chat about the chili cook-off to raise money to prevent veteran suicide, and then we get into the biker ball. I had so much fun talking to these two, which I think you'll pick up on in the interview. Which one of you is Bull?
Bull. He's the articulate one.
Okay.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Bull and Badger. I'll try not to mix it up.
Takes care of problems.
So what'd you guys do this morning?
I run a business, so I've been really busy.
Okay.
I manage a business here in town we sell lots of water pipe throughout the whole state of Wyoming. I've been here in town of Big Piney, and where the school is, you got a fire hydrant that sits in front of your school that leaked water for like 3 years. They didn't have no money to fix it, and I went out and fixed it. And they said, "How much does that cost?" I said, "We just fixed it for you." I can't believe you waited 3 years. If they would have had a fire there, you guys would have all died.
Oh, my God. Well, there's not very many of us, so no, that's good news.
Not much in the whole town.
At the school, maybe it would have depended, because the oil field days when I was going to school saw, you know, a boom,
sure,
as they call it, boom and bust.
It was when I was there. This is probably about 4 or 5 years ago. There wasn't nothing going on in Big Piney. Nothing.
No.
You could just see the devastation from the oil field. They just left it all behind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Are your parents veterans?
Nope. My sister's a veteran. I have an identical twin who just got out of the Navy, and her husband was in the Navy. Yep.
I'm Navy. Yep. That figures.
Okay.
Scholarships for veterans' kids. Yeah. If you applied on a scholarship, we give scholarships out to. That's what we do every year. Give thousands of dollars away to veterans' kids.
I like it.
We're
That's important.
Organization.
And so when you say we, for the listeners.
Vietnam Vets, Legacy Vets.
Vietnam Vets, Legacy.
Bikers. We're bad dudes. Yes.
They look very rough and tough. I am not kidding you. I said this, I'm so lucky because this is the closest I'll ever be to Hunter S. Thompson. Interviewing riding with the Hell's Angels, so it's kind of a far cry from that. But I'm very lucky to be here. So how did you guys end up being the speakers for your veteran biker club and Legacy Vets?
We've been in the club over 30 years. I've been a regional president like 14 years, which is a long time for anybody to be in our office. I'm the second longest president to hold that office in our club, and there's only 6 of us in the world.
Oh, wow. Okay, what was it like when it first started?
Oh, it was a lot funner. I was younger.
Yeah.
I was 30 years old. Yeah.
That's me too.
39 years old. I'd be chasing young girls like you. You wouldn't have had to go to Utah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's too funny. 87.
87, okay. Has it gotten bigger or smaller?
It's gotten bigger.
It got bigger for a while, but it's actually stalemating and losing numbers now.
It started out as
all
Vietnam veterans, and it went to Vietnam and era veterans, and then expanded to legacy veterans also, and then it expanded worldwide to veterans all over.
That means
international.
From, yeah, that means from 1958 to 1975 would be the Vietnam vets. So legacy vets come in 75 to present.
When you say legacy, does that mean?
They're young guys that have been to Afghanistan, Desert Storm.
Okay, so you've got quite an age range.
Yes. We got guys that are 19, 20 years old in our club. To guys like us, we're 70 years old. We're the young guys in our club.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you know who the oldest is?
There's probably some guys in their late 80s.
Okay.
They don't ride motorcycles no more, but they're in the club.
Yeah. If we had a World War II vet around, would you guys accept him?
We had one.
Did you really?
He was one of our founders. His name was Donald Schmuck. Look that up on your computer sometime.
World War II, Korea, Vietnam.
Yeah, there really aren't very many of those guys around. My husband's grandfather was in his 90s a year or two, and he passed away, but very peacefully in his sleep. It was awesome. We got to interview him before, but It was just really crazy. He's, you know, telling us his biography, being born in the 1920s, and the textbook of a man that he was, seeing so many things.
This guy here is a war hero. You won't believe his background. You bring up Donald Schmuck.
General Schmuck, yeah, there he is on Wikipedia.
Yeah, he was from Story, Wyoming. This is where he ended up, where he died. He was from Colorado, I think, to start out with.
That checks out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he was in World War II, Korean War, Vietnam. He was an advisor to Desert Storm. He died just before 9/11.
And Holy moly.
We buried him in
Arlington.
It says he was active with the Marine Corps League in Wyoming and was a founding member of the Vietnam Vets Motorcycle Club.
How about that?
There we go. And he purchased the Triangle S Ranch between Buffalo and Sheridan, Wyoming.
Sold it for about $4.5 million.
Wait, did it say he never married?
Never married.
Never married. Oh, he probably was a heartbreaker.
He had a heartbreaker.
His character.
His character, yeah. He had two nephews that he called his kids, which they were well-to-do, and they were a lot more well-to-do after he passed. He never told them that he was in a motorcycle club. He wore a lot of hats. He was military, he was a cowboy, and he was a biker.
So that's
however he got up in the morning, whatever hat he put on, that's what he was going to be for the day.
I feel like those three things might not be all too uncommon in this area, or to have be all three of those things at once. Do you feel like it's important that you guys recruit or meet up and have the camaraderie that you do?
We don't recruit.
Okay.
But we look for people that lost souls that need a place to go. So we're all veterans, and veterans all have a camaraderie that we all know and we have same feelings about some of the things that we've went through in our lives. In other words, I'll tell him some stuff and he'll tell me, but we won't tell you just because. Yeah, it's just something we do, I guess. I don't know why it's that way. That's the way the military
is. It's just
is.
The way veterans are.
Yeah.
It's just the way they are.
And that's one of the things about the Op Zero that we're doing this benefit for. Get the veterans to come in and talk to us. Because sometimes they don't have nobody to talk to. So they'll be in their house talking to their wife or their kids or their mother, their dogs, their horse, whatever, but they don't have somebody to talk to. If they have dark times that they need to talk to somebody, they need to talk to somebody that's had dark times, that's got through it. That's why we're here.
Do you think it's hard for some veterans to assimilate, be going from being in active military duty to becoming a civilian?
Always.
For a lot, yes.
The government drives into your brain. You do as we say, and that's it. No more, no less. You're governed not to do anything on your own because they want to control you. That's the way the military is. And you have to be somewhat that way, unless if you're in a leader, then you've already been to a meeting that you're telling your people what we're going to do that day, whether we're in war or whatever we're in. War is a whole different story, you know, than what the times are right now. Right now, how much do you hear about the military on the news? Nothing.
Right.
But you'll hear about celebrities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And football players. But you won't hear about veterans, because the veterans right now, we don't have a war going on, so we're non-existent. We're not needed. But there's a lot of things that we all pay attention to, like this morning or yesterday, Korea shot off 36 missiles.
And I was going to say, do you think maybe more veterans should become involved in politics because they have that experience?
They are. If you look at the red wave that's coming in right now, there's about, I think, 30 or 40% of them are veterans that are coming in.
Male and female.
Yeah, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. Because they've been trained by the government. So they know somewhat how the government operates, and that helps, you know.
Not to mention, most of them, if they want,
can have an education on the GI Bill. They've got tons of resources that have helped them kind of adult and grow up. And
another thing about veterans is we have a lot of trouble trusting people.
Mm. And so,
if you weren't the sort of the military, most of us like me, I usually won't have anything to do with anyone, and I usually don't talk to news people.
So it's a good way to make friends, would you say?
Being a veteran?
Well, to become a part of the
our club.
Your yes. club.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah, somebody to talk to. He's 100% PTSD, so he's, you know, that's part of his illness, let's say, from the, and his, that's what he, and a lot of us are too. I'm not 100%, but I have a percentage. We all have, just about everybody who's in the military comes out with some kind of percentage that the government didn't tell us about, you know, Agent Orange or whatever, you know. But
you know, a lot of veterans adjust real well, because
when we came home from Vietnam, we were especially, well, my case, I was told not to put my military clothes on, put my civvies on, because when you come into California, where we landed from Vietnam, the people would be harassing us, spitting on us. We were baby killers. We were all above. But all them people weren't over there where we were. We didn't want to be there. There's most guys that went to Vietnam, we were there because the government said that's where we're going to war. It was a war that we probably were never designed to win. Mm. Otherwise, we'd have won.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were held back by the politicians.
Yeah. The war was fought with one of our arms behind our back. And I can remember the day that George Bush says when he got to be president, we would not fight our wars that way no more. And that's when he went to work for, or went to war with Desert Storm. And that's, he was labeled a warmonger, but he went in and took care of business. And
do you think that there are a lot of misconceptions today, even about what happened in Vietnam?
Mainly because it was basically the first American war or conflict that was on TV 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that the news people showed was stuff that was supposedly done bad, or that's how it was interpreted.
And you were forced to join the military. There was a draft. It was a big one.
Right.
The draft, in other words, if you didn't believe in war, it didn't matter. You were going to go to get a physical, and you were going to, if they took you or not. There was a lot of undesirable people in the Vietnam War, too. There was a choice. Go to jail or go to Vietnam.
So you'd have people conflicted about. Yeah. But feeling just, I can't imagine being so conflicted or not. If you were one of those, I don't know how I would have felt about it, but one of the people who didn't want to be there, and then you end up being forced to be there, that's got to be just the most horrifying nightmare.
My draft number was 001.
Are you kidding me? Whoa.
It's like, out of here.
Oh.
I signed up.
What were your feelings, do you mind sharing? Like, what?
Well, let's see. I was 19 years old, playing rock and roll music. I had lots of friends, pretty popular in my neighborhood. But my brother says, you either sign up or you're going to pack a gun in Vietnam. So I signed up into the Navy, which my brother had already been there, which I ended up. Couple choices. I'm a farm boy from South Dakota, and I have a choice of going UDT or go Airedale. And I call up my brother and said, man, I'm going to be UDT, underwater demolition team. He goes, oh, no, you don't want to do that either. And I go, what are you talking about? He says, you have a choice, be at Airedale. So I ended up being in Airedale on the USS Enterprise, and they ended up loading bombs in Vietnam. That's what we did.
Wow.
But I'm not close enough to the Vietnam to be actually a Vietnam veteran. Figure that one out.
Mm.
Because you weren't in country.
So that's the distinction you have to.
Oh, that has to do with our benefits that the government takes care of us.
Gotcha.
There's always red tape in the military.
Interesting.
Deny. And you just have to fight for your position to get whatever you can out of the VA.
So that's even today, just like ongoing frustrations that you have to deal with.
Actually going on with me right as we speak.
Wow. And probably other veterans then too.
Millions. Just,
wow.
58,000 died in Vietnam, but 300,000 came home all screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Still dying too.
And still dying, yeah.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is Report to Wyoming, where we talk to real people about their thoughts and ideas. For today's episode, I was honored to talk to Badger and Bull, two Vietnam vets and bikers in Casper, about mental health and the camaraderie of riding with other veterans who share the same feelings and experiences as they do.
I know today there's like mental health services, but what was it like in the 70s, let's say?
Well, you were either... Back then, they called it... It wasn't PTSD. They were calling it. You had from the guns. You had
shell shock.
Shell shock. Yeah, shell shock. You don't even have, the kids. It seems like it's different a little bit. It's all the same, but it's different. I mean, we were different than them kids that are coming out now, but they're the same as we were. It's just we feel that they're different. World War II used to hate Vietnam veterans, just hated us for whatever reason, because we were wild and crazy, and we went over there, we wanted to kick some butt, and they had to go over, they were marched into a war.
Right.
And we were too, somewhat. I guess it's just a different war.
Yeah, the technology changes.
Oh, yeah, they marched onto the beaches, we went through the jungle.
Yeah. You know.
And the jungle wasn't a, and to be quite honest, the Vietnamese were very, very great warriors. They were sneaky. We did. There was no. They're out in the middle of a field. We go shoot them. They were behind every tree and under your feet, and they had landmines. And you
and
name
that,
it. They
that's
had
in
it.
Reference to the NVA and the Viet Cong.
Yeah.
Not the Arvin's regular Vietnam,
right.
Vietnamese army. Yeah. They had some units that were good, but most of them was just, you had to put them at gunpoint to go out in the field.
They didn't want to fight. That's why. But some of them did. Because it was fight or die. That's war.
I've seen so many renditions of it in that Hollywood's created. I wonder if it's all frustrating to you.
Everything you see on TV is probably twice as bad in reality.
Mm.
You didn't hear everything that went on. You know, we were sworn to secrecy when we were over there. We weren't supposed to write letters and say, and your letters would be blackened out if you said, "Dear Mom, I'm going to go in here and we're going to bomb this right away." That would be wiped out. So they tried to keep it down, but because of the media, opened up a whole new can of worms through wars. You know, it's just like Ukraine. We see everything that's going on over there. Those people are... That's a whole nother deal. It's not our war, but it is our war, because we're trying to keep people from taking over the world, is all.
Right.
It could be the other way around, real easy.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd have went after Russia. Whose side would we have been on then?
The news director will not say.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't talk to that much.
No.
Do you remember what it was like when you got your draft call?
I enlisted.
You enlisted? How old were you?
17.
Oh, my goodness. Did your mom have to give permission?
They had to sign the papers for me to go in.
What made you feel so convicted about doing it yourself? Was it that you just knew you were going to be drafted? Or
I was raised in a military family.
Okay.
I felt that was my obligation to, at that point, protect my family and freedom. Hmm. But not family, country, and freedom. That's just the way I was raised. And after a while of being over there, I said, this is not, no, this is different.
Yeah.
You know, freedom for our country had nothing to do with it. It was all big business and me and keeping me and my fellow soldiers alive.
And here in the Biker League, do you find that kind of camaraderie of people that...
Oh, yeah.
...help you kind of...
I always know I've got someone to talk to that understands.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Is it mostly just talking and riding? What do you guys do?
Well,
is it top secret? Try to get a sense of what that's like. Chili cook-offs.
Chili cook-off. We're doing this for everybody to get together and people to come in and meet other veterans and eat good chili, because there's going to be some people that are going to eat some, make some good chili. And we're going to give some money to our Op Zero people, which in turn will be given some, like Hunting with Heroes we give money to, and they take people out. It's all about people that need some time to be with some people and show the camaraderie that we have. And it's just a great thing. The Chili Feed is just something for us to get together for. Is it going to be a great big event? I hope so.
The more the merrier.
The more the merrier.
So it's not just vets. Anybody can come.
Anybody can come.
Family.
Of course.
Grandkids.
We expect, yeah. And the VFW is a good host for us. They take care of all the veterans that come in there. They're a very, very good organization. And we get along with them very well. We have meetings there. We have luncheons there. We have gatherings there. And they come to our functions, which we put on one of the biggest functions in Casper, which is the biker ball. Our biker ball is usually either at the Ramcota or now it's the Best Western. It started 28 years ago. It was the Parkway Plaza. And we sell out 500 tickets every year.
Oh, wow.
And we've raised somewhere between $850 and $1.2 million that we've given scholarships and give to, like, the Shriners Club, the
Boys and Girls Club.
We've given
Hunting with Heroes. School lunches.
We've just given money to. We're a nonprofit organization. Nobody in our group gets a wage, and we have an accountant that does all of our paperwork, and we give money to people that ask for it. We cut a little bit of the red tape. If your parents were in the military, you come to us with their paperwork, with them signed on it, and their DD-214 showing that they're military. That's all they have to do. We write you a check and say, there you go, go to school. Do us proud.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a big, big deal. And the party is unreal.
Is this black tie?
800 people show up.
Do you guys wear suits?
Oh, suits.
What? I hear biker ball and I'm picturing Cinderella dresses.
Okay, one year. Make-A-Wish came. The young lady came. I told her that we were going to present her with a check. And she goes, will I be safe at your ordeal? And I said, well, ma'am, this is the way I see it. I said, I'll make sure that you're safe. And she goes, how should I dress? I said, dress like you always do. There'll be doctors, lawyers, oil field workers, people that can barely afford a ticket, but they're going to come and have a great time because we're all equal there. We're all on the same.
Dressed like us. Or every now and then you get a couple that comes in dressed to the hilt.
I've had billionaires sit at the table there.
And you wouldn't know they were.
Nope.
So in other words, jeans is just fine.
The jeans are perfect.
But if you wanted to wear a ball gown.
Some do.
All right, that's fine too. What informs your guys' ethics? Specific to the veteran bikers. Ethics, what kind of, well, you definitely have them. I can tell that you guys both have big hearts. And what you do is really amazing. What do you think it is about veterans and bikers that makes your nonprofit possible?
First off, we're family people. We're no different than anybody else. It's just a hat you put on. You know, sometimes we're veterans and bikers on the same token. We wear a vest. We're part of the National Club, Vietnam Vets, Legacy Vets Motorcycle Club. We ride our motorcycles together. We have our beliefs, but it always is family first, and job, and our club.
If you don't have a job, you can't support yourself while you're in the club. If your family don't support you, we don't need you.
We don't need you, yeah. And you have to believe, and you have to obey by all the state and federal laws. And if you don't, then you go to jail. That's just, it don't matter. There's good guys and bad guys in every organization.
Now, my husband, he said when he was a little, just a little guy, he remembers Badger coming to his school.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. So do you go to public school still?
Yeah.
It was at you? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I'm
That's
still
amazing.
Doing it.
So you go and you talk to kids.
About,
what do you talk to them about?
High schools, we talk to them. It's kind of like a question and answer period where we're in a big room with all kinds of students, and they ask us what we thought about it, how we felt, how it affected us, how it affected our families. It's a wide variety of questions, and they're all really respectful.
That was my worry, is thinking, gosh, I wonder what that's, you know.
It was hard to do at first.
Yeah, because sometimes kids just ask innocently, but they'll ask hard questions.
For those of us that are still doing it, it's actually been a healing process because it helps us get things out.
Mm-hmm. And I do think it's so important, like I said, with Hollywood and other like representations of what happened in Vietnam, it's easy, I guess, to imagine that that's what it was like if you weren't there, but to talk to real people.
We give the kids something that they don't get in the school books. What they get in the school books is what people want you to know. We give them from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Experiences that they had.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Can't put experiences in a book.
Nope, you can't.
And I still run into people out in public every day. Weren't you at the school? Yeah, what was that?
Oh my gosh.
It's kind of touching at times.
Me and Badger were going down the road. He rides with me sometimes when I go to job sites and stuff. We're going down the road. We look in the ditch, and there's this car upside down. And I go, well, I guess we better stop, see if anybody's all right. We get there, and there was a little girl. She was upside down in the
17
car.
17 years old.
She wasn't hurt, but she was in her seatbelt upside down. And we stop her. Are you all right? She goes, yeah. She looks over. Are you Badger? I seen you in school last year. I'm going, are you kidding me? So we cut her down. They brought an ambulance.
Waiting for the ambulance and the helicopter.
Oh.
She just got bunged up is all, but
yeah, it's
really weird situation.
It was really nice, though, to see a familiar face.
When you stand her upside down and she's looking at him, that Badger?
Oh, my goodness.
That's a true fact.
He couldn't even, what?
And do we just have one VFW in Casper?
Oh, no, there's three of them. This is the
three.
The one on the hill by the dump. That's what I always call
it. Brian Stock Trail.
Brian Stock Trail, the one by the dump on the hill. Okay.
Yeah, come up there. Bob Chili.
Okay.
Yeah, this will be our second time that we've done this.
Oh, okay.
It's just a spur of the moment thing. We had a meeting.
Needed something to do.
Casper loves its veterans.
Yep, they do.
Do you have to be a biker to be a part of the biker club?
You have to be a veteran.
You have to be a veteran and biker. Okay. Does it matter what you ride?
As long as it runs.
What if you ride a Triumph?
As long as it's 650 cc's or more.
Is that a real rule?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. What do you ride?
What do you think I ride?
A Harley.
Of course. We suggest that you ride a Harley Davidson. It's not mandatory, but you would be ribbed a lot if you ride something else other than
good naturedly
in our club.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is Report to Wyoming, where we talk to real people about their thoughts and ideas. I was very honored to get to talk to two veterans and bikers named Badger and Bull about mental health and some of the fundraisers that they have. They mentioned the Vietnam Vets Motorcycle Club Biker Ball, which will be here before you know it. Over 30 years ago, the Wyoming chapter of the Vietnam Vets Motorcycle Club, along with the Legacy Vets Motorcycle Club, put together a party and a chance to win a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. The party has grown so much, they're now selling out all of their tickets. They're giving away way more Harleys and way more prizes. But there's also one more chance to be a part of the fun if you didn't get one of those tickets. Because so many of the participants come into Casper for the weekend, the party's grown to include the Friday night prior to the event as well. So this year, like years past, Friday night's event is a fundraiser. It looks like the doors open at 6 p.m., and it's open to all who want to come out. You can listen to all of our Report to Wyoming episodes by going to k2radio.com, clicking Listen, and then On Demand. This is Colby Fedor.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.